Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is the one known as the Couch Potato, Mike. How are you doing this week, sir?
Not bad. Kind of just fucking sick of the snow, though. The snow, the ice, the storms, the wetness, the precipitation I'm sick of.
This is like the most precipitation of this many kinds that I've ever seen within a 1 month period. I mean, I swear to God, between the rain and the freezing rain and the sleet and the fucking snow and the ice and the slush and the mud. My fucking yard is a fucking swamp.
Yeah. Yeah, I there's ruts all through my yard to the driveway. The driveway's pretty fine.
Dude, my driveway is so fucking muddy. Every time I go out there, I find two women wrestling in it.
Nice. I would market that and sell it.
Yeah.
Come to Couch Potato Mike's for mud wrestling. Friday.
Oh my God. There's like mud on the side of my house now.
Yeah.
Trying to get the truck out, just sprayed mud every damn where. Oh my God.
Until it rained recently, like after the last flooding and mud adventure, my car looked like I'd been rally racing. Like it was just covered in mud, like splashed all over the windows and stuff, and you know, my car isn't a reasonably priced car. Like you could rally car driving that thing.
Yeah.
Especially with my brand new snow chains.
Yeah, right around Gambon and across the line. Yeah, those snow chains, the ones that we talked about last week. How'd those, you actually ended up having to use those?
So the other day when I was leaving work in the morning time, it was massively covered in snow. driving slow and good. I got home without a problem and then, I didn't try super hard, but the driveway, I have a very long, steep, windy driveway.
Yeah, I've seen your driveway. That thing is just hell.
Yeah. And going up it in snow or ice is not going to happen.
Mm-mm. No. No way in hell. Yeah. I mean, that was the first time I ever saw your driveway. I cannot talk tonight.
No.
First time I ever saw your damn driveway, that was the first fucking thing that ran through my mind is how the hell is he going to get up that damn thing once it freezes?
Yeah. The answer is my snow chains I got from eTrailers.com. So I got home, I pulled in the driveway, I made up the driveway. Basically, my car got out of the road. And that's about as far as I made it.
Uh-huh.
And then I put on the snow chains, and it was balls-ass cold, and my hands were freezing, and it was the first time putting them on, and it took a while.
How exactly do you put them on? I mean...
You lay them out next to the tire to make sure you have them in the right order and make sure they're untangled and unfeathered. And you drape them over the tire. And then the direction said to pull up like a fourth of a tire rotation, whatever that is.
A quarter of a turn.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really work so well because my tire was not on solid ground. It was on snow. So when I pulled forward, it grabbed the chain and threw it behind it because the tire just spun. So I did that several times with it just throwing the chain behind it. And then I just said, screw it. And I went to the next step, which was to reach behind the tire, which required me laying down in the snow and attach the back part of the chain. And then you attach the front part. The front latching. So the back one is just a hook. And the front one is a long tensioning screw thing you use it to tighten up with. And then you put on the tensioner, which is, it's sort of like a round rubber thing with like, bungee cords coming off it in a star shape.
Mm-hmm.
And you grab the pieces of the chain and pull it in tight.
Okay.
So you do that. I did it on both sides. After about, I don't know, 15 minutes of freezing cold and like hands shaking. I got them on there, and I got in the car, and I was like, I'm gonna give these like a torture test. I'm gonna see if I can get up this hill without any kind of a run, just from where my car had stopped and had slid back. So it slid back. There is no traction.
Right.
I was gonna see if I could just like ease up the hill, like I was going so. And you know, even under normal conditions, I kind of got to run at the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so steep. there was so much traction with those chains, I just, like, strolled up the hill in the car.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, like, barely touching the gas, and it was like a boss. It was just like, yep, I got this. No problem. Yep, we got this.
That is pretty fucking sweet.
Yep. It was a pain in the ass getting them off, too. Today, when I took them off, when I pulled out of the driveway. But I like them. That, for getting up the hill, so good. So good.
I think what you really need is a set designated place to put them on.
Yeah. If I wasn't in this, if I had a garage, you know, so maybe I'll put in like a little, like a roof shelter at the bottom. So there's a portion that doesn't get snow. Maybe. I don't know.
Cause you went through some torture getting those damn things on the first
time. It was the first time too. You know, it was snowing. It was cold. You know, I don't know if gloves would have helped a whole lot because of dexterity issues. I don't know if that would have been a good idea.
Yeah, but then again, in that freezing cold on metal, how much dexterity did you have?
True. When my tensioner popped off and slapped my hand, my freezing numb fingers felt the pain intensely. Oh,
God, there is no... Dude!
Yeah, so...
Yeah,
I like them. Yeah. Shout out to E-Trailers for being good and giving a good product. And Mike's yelling at his dog to get off his side of the bed.
She picked up her hind legs and rubbed her ass on my sheet.
Nice.
I swear to God, if it wasn't illegal to kill animals, well, dogs and whatnot, for rubbing their ass on my quilt.
During the apocalypse, I'm going to eat that dog.
There's not enough meat on that to sustain you.
So... I'll grind it up and make a burger. You see any cows around? That's dog burger.
All right. Well, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about West Virginia and why they're trying to ban night vision technology. 7 things no one tells you about declaring you're a prepper. Going to be doing a main topic on gardening, which is, you know, during the winter is the perfect time to talk about that. And we're going to be talking about paleoification. Just because the label says it's paleo, is it really paleo? But before we get into all that, it is time to share a few words about the good people that sponsor our show. People such as jmbullion.com.
For all your gold and silver needs online, jmbullion.com. If you are looking for a good investment, a monetary hedge against inflation, silver is the place that I like to put my money at. And I like to get my silver from jandbullion.com.
Why do they call it a hedge?
I don't know. That's what the term is. It's hedging your bets.
You lost me. But jandbullion.com.
Yeah. Jandbullion.com, free shipping on all orders, must make a minimum order of $100.
Really easy to do, though, with precious metals.
Really easy to do. So pick up some gold and silver from jmbullion.com. Click the banner right-hand margin.
Where you'll also find the little spot that's marked campingsurvival.com.
What will you find at campingsurvival.com?
Everything you need for bugging in and for bugging out.
Things like the fish antibiotics, the life straw to filter creek water, and much, much more.
What?
campingsurvival.com. Click the banner right-hand margin and get all your necessities.
I'm going to kick you in the face.
After you drink your Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
That'll give me the energy to kick you in the face. Mai yes. Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. One of the best cups of Joe that you'll ever have.
Yes.
Straight out of the fucking motherland of Thailand.
Yes. Where they support orphanages and pay their workers a fair trade. I tried Jack Spirico's favorite brand of Mai Tai coffee last night.
Oh.
The spiced butter rum.
I knew there'd be butter involved in it somewhere.
Yeah, it's spiced butter rum, spiced rum, something like that. He's like, it's so good, you don't even need, like, sweetener or cream or anything.
See, that's what I look for in a cup of coffee. Something you don't have to screw with it.
It was interesting. It definitely had sort of a kick flavor to it. I will not say it's my favorite. The Mexicali, hands down, is my favorite.
What does Mexicali even mean?
It's Mexican-y. It's sort of like a Mexican chocolate and a little spice, a little kick, a little punch. It's good. I like it. You had some stevia and some heavy whipping cream to it, and it's magical.
You and the heavy whipping cream.
Yes, heavy whipping cream. If you're not going to use grass-fed butter, you will heavy whipping cream. And then, if you want to get some Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee, like me, you click the banner in the right-hand margin.
Over at survivalpoke.com.
.com.
Where you will also see a little spot marked for wellfoodco.com.
Yes. And we will be talking about paleo cookies later on. And if you get paleo cookies, I suggest you get them from wellfoodco.com. As the occasional treat, you know, once a year, whatever, you know. If you're having a cheat day and you're going to eat a cookie, you might as well eat a paleo cookie if you're going to eat a cookie.
And it's a great dessert to one of those paleo MREs.
Yes, paleo MREs, the carne bars, are delicious. And I keep meaning to stock up on some for my bug out bag, both paleo MRE and the carne bars, especially the carne bars. I love those things. And they have live culture bacteria in them, which is good for your gut health.
Live culture bacteria? That means they're alive?
Yes. Like yogurt, but in a package for carne bars.
Yogurt.
They're delicious. And you can find that at wellfoodco.com, banner in the right-hand margin.
Yep. And now, let's move away from the fondness of these fine sponsors and go to the land that time forgot, West Virginia.
West Virginia, mountain home. The home of, my good friend DB, Florida Hillbilly, which is counterintuitive. The name is Florida Hillbilly, but he moved there. And this comes from Ammoland.com. If you have an interesting news story and you'd like me to read it, me and Mike to read it on air, please send it to James@survivalpunk.com so I don't have to look through Facebook to find articles, between all of the, guns for gunslinger girls that are half naked and the butts showing. So, send me an email.
You don't realize how long our show prep takes, people. Help us out here.
Yeah.
He gets distracted. Because every single time he passes one of those redheaded butts, he's like, oh, and then has to run into the other room and change his shorts again.
Oh, a quick sidetrack. We were talking something about gingers on Survival Punk Facebook fan page, facebook.com/survivalpunk, and a ginger girl commented on it. And so I have a policy. I give free patches to gingers. It's sort of my giving back charity. A portion of my proceeds go to give patches, Survival Punk patches, to gingers. So if you're a ginger and you want a patch, I have a few left. So
we're talking natural gingers.
I'm okay with some dyed redheads, but I prefer natural gingers.
You're a whore.
Yes. So back to this article for Ammoland.com. Do you own night vision optics? No, but I wish I did. Maybe West Virginia, Ammoland.com. Maybe you're thinking about owning night vision. Well, the state apparently does not want you to. But they're not going so far as to just ban night vision. But they only want to ban it if you happen to have a firearm. Bro. Night vision is very expensive. Yes, that's why I don't own it. And extremely useful technology. It gives the night back to mankind. You can use it in a million ways to do a million things in the dark that you never could do before.
Have you ever looked at the stars with quality night vision? Trust me, the view is stunning. This bill is guised as a poaching bill, but we know better. We can tell because hunting deer at night is already illegal. This is about discouraging the use of night vision among gun owners. I promise, if you're using night vision for whatever reason and happen to have your concealed carry firearm on you, DNR, or WVSP, or whomever the arresting agency is, will very much appreciate your gift to them because they'll confiscate that night vision right along with your handgun.
Go, keep going.
Oops. Remember, this is not about hunting or poaching because hunting at night is already illegal. You don't need an extra section in the law. This is about denying your modern defense technology.
There are bills in both houses. They are poised to run. Poised to run. I had dyslexia. call delegate blah 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 blah. Check the email at ammoland.com. I'll have a link in the show notes so you can, if you live in West Virginia, contact these people. If you don't live in West Virginia, contacting them may be useless because they don't care. In fact, if you live in West Virginia, they probably still don't care.
Are we banned in West Virginia yet?
Possibly in like the federal buildings and stuff.
You know what? I don't care if we're banned in West Virginia or not. There's nothing there I want.
Yeah. Oh, so I got to comment on our accent before I jump into this. That
wait, on whose accent?
Both of ours. You are steadfastly a Southern accent.
What the fuck?
I think it's your show voice. I think you put on your show voice.
This is not a Southern accent.
I can hear your drawer.
I do not have a drawer.
I was told I sometimes have a drawer, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I have a Northern accent. Oh, but I think it's just because I say use guys. Use guys.
I do not have a Southern accent on the show.
Southern potato Mike.
Okay, it's couch potato Mike, not couch tater Mike, okay?
Couch tater.
See, great. Now I'm going to be self-conscious for the rest of the episode watching my non-draw. Who the hell out there thinks I have a Southern accent?
The ginger that got the free patch.
I'll give her something to fucking patch.
Yeah. So it's kind of surprised that West Virginia is pulling this kind of shit. Like, it's always surprised. Oh, God, there's another news story I meant to bring up. It always surprises me when what I think is a decent state passes something ridiculous. I mean, my good friends, Justin and Cheryl, that live in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And Grizz, my buddy Grizz lives in Michigan.
Grizz.
Their state has passed some completely batshit retarded laws. They started killing heritage breed pigs.
What's a heritage breed pig?
The brown hairy ones. Have you ever seen the brown, like, long hair? So they said they're too similar to wild boar that are, like, a big problem in, like, you know, Texas and whatnot. Not Michigan. They're, like, really big problem. Like, it's, like, open season year-round in Texas to kill wild hogs. Because they're a pest and they destroy land.
Oh, for the love of Christ.
Which I think is awesome, because you could, like, Texas, they're considered, like, a varmint, and you could pull out your AR-15 and just go to town on them.
On a wild boar?
Yes.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's awesome!
How is that awesome?
Because it'd be like if rats were roaming the countryside. Because that's kind of what they are. I mean, it's like the pack, they're destroying land, they're tearing up crops, they're, like, killing, you know, farm animals and stuff, like, they're a legitimate pest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Africanized bees were large enough to shoot with your AK or your AR, it'd be like that. Like, oh, they're Africanized bees. They're a problem. You can kill them. So anyway.
That's different.
Michigan, though, started killing people's farm animals because they thought they were gonna be an issue. Because they were brown.
Oh, for Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that, and then recently, Michigan passed one of those laws where you're like, how did that get passed in this modern day? EMTs in Michigan now have the right to refuse to help gay people. The look on your face, my friend.
Okay. Emergency medical technicians.
Paramedics, yes.
Motherfuckers that have taken the Hippocratic Oath.
Uh-huh.
Have the legal right to refuse to help homosexuals.
Correct. The fuck?
I'm speechless.
I was like...
I just don't know what the fuck to say to that. There is not enough hatred in me to just lash out that hard as I want to lash out. What the fuck? Why do people hate gays so much? I don't fucking get it. They have the right to love whoever the fuck they want to love.
Yeah, I like the libertarian to me, like, I've always... My philosophy has always been, like, since high school, when I thought about it, I'm like, I don't care about anything that doesn't affect me. You being gay doesn't affect me.
No.
Unless you, personally, as a person, try to rape me. And then I have an issue with you as a person, and right. I'm probably going to beat your ass.
Like, I have zero problems with homosexuals doing their homosexual shit with each other because guess what? It feels right to them. Gay guys want to fuck gay guys for the same reason that I want to fuck my wife. It's because it's right. It's what feels fucking right.
Yeah. So, I
do not have a southern accent.
Yeah. I don't see how you could refuse medical help to anyone for any reason. Like, I whatever.
You know what? These motherfuckers, the motherfuckers that are going to be refusing to fucking help gay people, I really fucking hope something happens to them in a particularly gay part of town where the only thing that could save their life is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation from a fag that refuses to fucking give it to them.
Yeah. It's, to be honest, you guys, you seem to move down south because Michigan's retarded. I mean, Detroit is actually bankrupt. They filed for bankruptcy, a city.
Well, it's damn near empty.
Yeah, I mean, people are bulldozing entire, like, street corners, like, whatever.
Well, they're talking about letting nature reclaim that land. Yeah. That all these empty fucking houses, miles and miles of empty neighborhoods.
Yeah. So.
Poor bastards. I hate that, too. My dad's from Detroit.
I mean, it was once a great city, and...
Motor City, USA.
Dude, I watched a documentary... We're getting way off trail. I watched a documentary one time on, like, Detroit, and some of the unions up there are just so fucking stupid. It's like... It was like, hey, either you guys gotta take... You gotta take, like, a dollar decrease in pay, or we have to close the factory. Like, the budget is not... We don't have the money. Like, we don't have the money. Union's like... No, we're not taking a decrease in pay. We're going to have to close the plant.
Either take a
dollar decrease in pay, dollar or take no money.
Decrease in pay, or have no pay.
And I don't mean like they're going from like, you know, minimum, like a dollar above minimum wage to minimum wage. They're going from like $20 to like $19 or something. Something like that. Yeah.
No, for a little bit.
And then they're like, no, we can't do it. So they had to close their factory. And everyone was out of a job because they're pricks and couldn't take a dollar decrease in pay.
No, but they could take a look at fucking $20 decrease in pay.
Yeah.
Where's the goddamn logic?
I'm sure they went on unemployment and stole money from the government.
Yeah, once again, proving the movie Idiocracy is actually a documentary.
Yeah. So, West Virginia, get your shit in order. Don't become Detroit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This episode's getting me all riled up.
So you get the inner Twinkie?
Yes. Actually, these aren't Twinkies. These are generic, cloud cakes.
Yeah, sure.
There's a difference.
I had more comments for you to go paleo, which you're not heeding.
That's only because you fucking shared my Twinkie Wiener sandwich on your Facebook page.
Mike, go paleo! Go paleo!
I'm gonna go paleo, damn it. Let me finish these Twinkies first.
So our next article is 7 things nobody tells you about declaring you're a prepper. This comes from tipsforsurvivalists.com. I'm not going to bother reading the preamble here. Let's jump right into these 7 things. Number 7. You may be considered paranoid. According to the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, what a good government name there. An average of 399 people were killed in the United States by natural disasters each year from 1980 to 2010. That sounds like a very small amount of people. However, those impacted by natural disasters stands at almost 27 million. That's nearly a tenth of the population, using 2010's estimates of 309 million people. If you have a 1 in 10 chance of being impacted by a natural disaster in the next 30 years, shouldn't you prepare for it? Being aware of this fact and preparing for the possibility, however, is seen as paranoid by some. You may be laughed at or ostracized by some who are perfectly willing to take the risk of being caught unprepared, like our snowstorm. Issues of personal safety and excess... Issues of personal safety and acceptable risk are deeply personal, and being outed as a prepper could draw scorn from those who are with a more cavalier outlook. If that person is your boss, you may want to keep your disaster plan to yourself.
You know, and that's not a new thing. It's always been like that. People who prepare for the disasters, they're always the ones that are fucking ridiculed about. I mean, perfect example. Going back as far as you can possibly go. Look at the Bible, for God's sake. And I'm not a guy that quotes the Bible on here. People mock Noah for building the damn ark.
Yeah.
He was preparing for the worst disaster.
Yeah. I think in like early America, though, it was sort of like people just did it. It's like, oh, you're canning some food for winter? Yeah, that's smart. Well, you should do that.
Well, you know, people seem to forget this country was kind of founded on preppers.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to back then. I mean, we live in a fucking world where prepping is not always 100% necessary. But when the shit hits the fan, the motherfuckers that just got ridiculed, they're the only ones that are fucking prepared for it. Number 6. Others may assume the worst. With the sensationalism of the media, many folks have only seen extreme preppers who are awaiting the end of the world. The National Geographic Channel highlights such people in their program, Doomsday Preppers, and the average person may not realize that the vast majority of preppers do not go to such extremes. Others may assume you have an enormous arsenal of guns and ammunition, 5 years of food and water, and your own survivalist stockpile in an underground bunker in your yard. Plenty of people are uncomfortable with that level of prepping, and may subsequently feel uncomfortable about you and your plans. If you do decide to discuss it, be prepared to explain the scope of your prepping. Most reasonable people would agree a bug-out bag and some supplies are a good idea, but you might need to go into detail if all the person has ever seen is the most extreme examples of prepping from the media. Number five.
Someone might call the police.
Oh, the fuck!
Yeah. In our hyper-aware society, people are pushed to be on the lookout for anyone who has the potential to be dangerous. To some, preparing for disaster means you might know about disaster ahead of everyone else, because you're the cause of it. Don't be surprised if a nervous neighbor or coworker calls the police. As long as you have a proper permit for firearm or building, prepping is not a crime. Try not to be upset if this happens, as it occurs mostly due to fear and ignorance. FUD.
Once again, idiocracy.
Yes.
Number 4. You may become a target for thieves. The Bureau of Justice Statistics states that there are over 7 million burglaries a year from 2003 to 2007. While some home invasions are random, many are planned ahead of time with specific goals in mind. If someone knows you have a bug-out bag full of critical documents, stealing that bag will allow them to steal your identity. If you have firearms, they fetch good prices on the black market, and those who keep cash to use in case of electricity is interrupted, thieves will go at great lengths to get it. Be careful who you tell and what you divulge about your prepping.
Number 3. You may become a community leader. Depending on your geographical location and the sensibilities of your neighbors, you may find yourself the go-to person for information and education about prepping. For example, if you live in an area that experiences natural disasters quite frequently, and you are always among the first to recover completely, your neighbors will want to know your secrets. Just like everybody in town might know that David down the block is the go-to guy for mechanical issues, and his wife, Sue, is the town's best seamstress. Wow, town has a seamstress. You could become known as the prepping source. How you feel about this and how much you want to talk about prepping is entirely up to you.
Aha, see what I'm talking about there? Now the upper hand is on the other foot.
Yes.
Yeah, you like that, did you? Number 2, people may come to you in an emergency. Whether their power has gone out in the snowstorm or a tornado has torn through town, those who know you are prepared may seek you out for assistance.
Their peppered steak.
Depending on the size of the emergency and how much help is available, you may be inundated and overwhelmed with too many people. For this reason alone, you may want to keep quiet about all your prepping, so that you may have an ample supply for your close friends and family.
Speaking of tornado and snow, when I was driving home yesterday...
Love was such an easy game to play.
Have you ever like seen during the summertime those dirt devils?
Yeah.
Where the wind picks up. I saw it with snow the other day. Like, there were snow-nados.
I love a snow-nado.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Because because normally we have ice, and ice doesn't, you know, snow-nado. Yeah.
Yes, but the snow fluffy. That we got the other day, it was that fluffy powder.
Yeah, it piled up.
It was actually my favorite kind of snow. Melts, yeah. You gotta admit, it melted off the road a hell of a lot quicker than the ice storm did.
I meant to say that all the roads in my county were completely clear and dry until I got into your county.
Yeah, my county for some reason loves to keep that shit on the roads. Don't ask me why.
Your county has two snow plows. Mine has like a team of 20.
Yeah.
For a smaller, tinier county. Which makes no sense. Number one. You may be invited to join a local network.
You mean like TBS?
Yeah. As with any endeavor, there's usually strength in numbers. Other preppers in your area may want to get to know you, and you will need to decide if you want to interact with them. Excuse me. I always do. Unless they turn out to be bitches that make fun of people on your Facebook. Some more extreme preppers may only be interested in survival and care of their families, while others include neighbors and local children into their plans. A lot depends on what your goal is. Like-minded individuals can form a loose alliance invaluable in an emergency. So consider joining the prepper community. Being a prepper encompasses a lot of ground. Whether you just want to be prepared for a natural disaster that could last a few days, or you want to be ready for the doomsday scenario. Deciding to declare yourself a prepper is a deeply personal decision. Obvious factors may play a part in the decision. You should think carefully before you decide whether or not to discuss your preparedness with others. Alrighty. Good valid points. I like them all. I myself, obviously, choose to be pretty open about my preparedness. You guys may or may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I do some prepping thing. I pretty much tell everyone, hey, I have a blog. I talk about survival. It's cool.
You took a shot at somebody in the middle of that.
I did. Recently, I put a picture on my Facebook page that was a possibly fake picture of the Similac ingredients that consisted of mostly sugar and oil. Looking at the real ingredients of Similac, it is mostly sugar and oil.
Yeah, corn syrup is like the first ingredient.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not good stuff. And I put out the picture and I said, you know, baby food comes from titties, not from cat Similac. And I woke up to 150 some odd comments and like bloodthirsty war and like mobs and like pitchforks and torches.
And that's just the Tiffany iceberg.
Yeah. Batshit crazy. Batshit crazy. I can't believe people got that damn bent out of shape over titty milk. So.
Oh my God. Well, it wasn't just over that. I mean, it was over whether or not, you know, women who can't breastfeed are faking it. Or, yeah. Like, not trying hard enough. Yeah. People just took... Facebook has given people the right to use their First Amendment rights to an absurd, stupid-ass level. The Facebook fighters are this generation's telephone tough guy. Those motherfuckers that'll yell at people over the fucking phone.
Yeah.
Because it's complete, I mean, it's even though you're required to give your real name, there's no way around that. You can't lie on the internet.
Yeah.
Even though you're still pretty much anonymous, you're just a name on a screen so you can do whatever the hell you want. And it's giving people permission to be douchebags and dickheads and assholes.
Yeah, I wanted an adult debate and conversation. And I got,
you got a bunch of people.
I got an angry mob.
Oh my God, dude. I'm sorry. After a while, I had to get on there and just start mocking the shit out of people.
Yeah. I just imagine all the people that got bent out of shape is like, there's an internet meme of like the fat, typical, like, internet nerd on his computer And, you know, it's like, probably his mom is like, go to bed, it's time to go to bed. And he's like, I can't sleep, there's people wrong on the internet.
Ain't that the down truth?
Yeah, so get bent.
Oh, my
God. What do we got next?
A bunch of people that can eat a bowl of dicks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's time for our main topic.
Which, even though we're covered under snow at the moment, it's time, being that it's March 6th, at the recording of this podcast, it's time to start planting our spring gardens. Because it is March. Typically, in Tennessee, the last frost date is around March 16th. Possibly later this year, I will probably hold off.
Yeah, this winter is completely unpredictable.
Yeah. I mean, March 4th, I was outside in like short sleeves and like happy-go-lucky. March 5th, was covered in under snow. More snow than I've seen in Tennessee.
I mean, yeah. That was a good 6 inches of snow out there in my front yard.
Yeah.
I mean, just overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was beautiful, but still. I mean, I love a beautiful snow-covered landscape.
I don't. It can go eat a bowl of dicks.
You'd like it if it was warm and stayed off the roads. You want warm snow. That's what you want.
If it was like beach sand from the sky, maybe.
Oh my God, beach sand.
Let's make a sand angel. Yeah, I don't like the cold. I could be happy living on the equator with your dad. Oh my God, it's chilly today. It's like 79. Oh, I'm gonna freeze to death.
I'm not even joking. My dad's wife, if it drops into the fucking 70s, she's out there in a turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where the hell did she get that sweater in the Philippines?
So, yeah, I'm starting to sort of plan my zones for the garden.
What kind of garden are you going for?
A lot.
A lot?
I want to have some garden boxes close to the door, close to the house, that, you know, stuff like salad greens and whatnot, kales, sort of my fresh greens and whatnot. And then I want to have some long rows of the, you know, summer, springtime, you know, tomatoes, zucchini, and all that stuff. I want to put in all the stuff I'm planting. So, you know, close to the door, I want to have, like, you know, the stuff that I'm going to eat, like, sort of daily. You know, and then a little bit further away, I'm going to have my main crops, lots of them.
Now, what kind of main crops are you going for?
So, tomatoes, peppers, zucchini, I want to put in some cabbages, because I like to eat cabbage often. Closer will be, like, kale, chard, you know, all of my sort of salad greens, spinach. I want to have some broccoli. Does he cauliflower? Lots of cauliflower.
No, he didn't say
I love cauliflower.
You're in the minority there. I mean, I like it if it's prepared the right way, but it's hard to prepare it the right way.
Cauliflower, you can prepare so many damn ways. You can do anything with it. Did you try in that cauliflower steak I made? Your wife loved that.
Cauliflower steak?
Yeah.
I missed that, apparently.
What did you think about that, Mike's wife?
It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was good and boring.
What are you talking about, cauliflower steak?
You cut them into steak shapes, or, you know, thickness, and then bake them in the oven.
Well, hell, why didn't you offer me some of that?
We ate them before you got home.
Yeah.
You're both fucks, you know that? Real fucks.
So there's that, and then some, I got a spot where I want to plant like a food forest of, you know, fruit trees, nut bushes, stuff like that right there on the front corner.
What kind of nuts grow in bushes?
Hazelnuts.
Yuck.
I like hazelnuts.
They're only good for flavoring coffee.
I don't think I want to even try with chestnuts after trying chestnuts and not actually being a fan of chestnuts. They cannot roast over an open fire because they're not that good.
Have you ever tried them roasted over an open fire?
Yes.
And they didn't like them?
I didn't hate them. But I wouldn't, I could not, if it was like, hey James, so you're either going to starve to death or you're going to eat these chestnuts. Well, I'll eat the chestnuts. Another thing I want to eat, and I was telling you about earlier, was Jerusalem artichokes.
Yeah, sunchokes, as they're sometimes called.
They're real good. They have an insulin ability. It's good for people with diabetes. I don't have that, but I like the blood sugar control aspect of it anyway. They're also called sunchokes, or what was it? There's a funny name for them.
Fart chokes.
It might be fart chokes, gas chokes,
ass chokes.
It's just something like that. Yeah, it's fart chokes. I think it might be fart chokes. Because it can give you, like, gas. Sweet potatoes. So I'm gonna put in a couple things of sweet potatoes, which I've got a bunch of spare tires, like, on the property that Dave wanted to build random things out of. So the trick is you can, like, take a tire, fill it with dirt, plant your potatoes in it.
Yeah, you can make planters in those. A lot of, yeah.
Then you can stack them, though, with potatoes and sweet potatoes. So you do that, and then you put another thing on top, and then you cover that with dirt, and then you put more potatoes in there, and then you do another one. So when you take them down, you can grow like 100 pounds of potatoes in like this, yep, you know, a 6-foot space.
Yeah, but how are you? How is that beneficial to the ones on the bottom though?
They grow under the dirt. Hmm. I mean, potatoes—they're a root crop. They grow in there. And you just snake the leaves up to the top.
So, you know, that kind of reminds me of something that I saw at Disney World. They had like this hydroponic growing facility and one of their things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw it, you'd flip out over it. It's fucking awesome. I mean, they were growing plants that were basically, well, they just weren't in anything. They would fucking move along this conveyor belt with their roots just hanging there, and they would get spritzed by this fucking water. I mean, they never touched fucking dirt. They had, like, basically the equivalent of, like, 300 fucking heads of lettuce growing in an area that maybe 75 heads of lettuce would normally grow, because instead of growing flat along the ground, they were growing up this, like, trapezoid-type thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty freaking awesome.
Sweet.
And as far as the food goes, I mean, that was actually all the vegetables that they grew in there, they served in the restaurants. Were in that pavilion. Yeah. So, I mean, it was good food.
Nice.
It was really, really good food. I mean, I got such a kick out of it. It was very revolutionary. I saw, this was like, oh my God, 20 years ago saw this.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a hill where I kind of want to do some terraces and put in things like, strawberries and
strawberry other hill things like that. Forever.
I want to get some like, wildflowers growing on the land. You know, I want to get some plantain,
can you grow daisies. Can you grow banana derivatives?
Plantain, not those.
Oh.
The weed.
Oh.
Comfrey, I want to get some of that growing.
You're growing weed on your property?
Yes. It's legal now. It's for hemp, buddy. Come on, it's for hemp. Down in the marshland where the creek is at, I want to get some, like a bamboo forest going. Bamboo has like a million and one uses. I mean, for building, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cause it grows, you know, like 3 feet a day or something ridiculous.
Hey, it's also, you can make containers and crap out of it. I mean, you gotta get thick stuff. Yeah, you can eat it.
It's grass.
Yeah, but I'm not a
The young shoots, yeah, you can eat it. Not the you know, the hardwood, but the young shoots you can.
I've seen people make cups and stuff out of those big ones. I mean, it's just very awesome.
All sorts of things. In the creek, I want to get some, watercress. So marshlands are actually like one of the most productive parts of an ecosystem, a most productive ecosystem.
Makes sense.
So there's, you know, all sorts of things I want to grow down there. That's not even counting the animals. We're just talking about just food. So,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be a busy, busy, busy season.
What do you gotta do to prep for this?
I gotta build my raised beds, which I'm not doing tilling. I got into an argument with someone. They're like, oh, it works fine for me. I don't like tilling. It kills the soil bacteria. It, you know, you get like one good season before you have to start putting in fertility, because when you till, all that fertility and stuff that you're getting is because you're murdering millions of microorganisms in your soil.
Wow.
And, you know, how do you fertilize things? You put in, like, dead things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're growing off of those dead organisms that would otherwise give you good, you know, soil fertility.
Now, what exactly is a raised bed?
It's what I had like in my apartment, you know, it's above ground. It's a raised space.
Oh, okay.
I really want to get the damn trailer out of there because there's tons of bricks underneath it. It would make good raised beds.
And plus it's just blocking all this land that would otherwise be utilized.
Yeah.
You guys gotta get a game plan for getting that damn thing going.
Yeah, I'm gonna start hauling off trash when the weather's nicer. a little at a time and then just start dismantling it.
Ugh. That's still gonna take fucking forever, dude.
Yeah. Renting a dumpster is pretty expensive. And I kinda, one of the things we talked about putting there is, a little pond and then a greenhouse further down.
Mm-hmm.
We needed out there to do both of them. Cause the land right behind the trailer wants to flood anyway.
Right.
So a natural, like, swimming pool pond back there would be a good idea. And I wanna have a pond. Another thing I'm talking about, a pond higher up on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can move water downhill for free.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'll roll and you'll keep, you know, good water and good nutrients throughout your system to move it down to the land and hold it in ponds.
If you do get a pond, are you going to name it Amy?
Maybe. It would, you know, my car's named River Pond. River Song.
River Pond.
River Pond. River Pond! So yeah, ponds and animals will be coming soon. I kind of think I want to do ducks. I
thought you were going to do bacon seeds.
Bacon seeds eventually. Dave wants to have some goats. Goat milk would be yummy.
I've never actually had goat milk.
Yeah. I've never, you know what? I got thinking about it. I'm like, and I asked Cheryl, and goats do, like, goats have goat cream, like heavy cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I bet that's delicious. I've never had goat milk. I've had some goat cheese, and that was good. I mean, that was real good.
Yeah, goat cheese is fun.
So, and, you know, that's something we can make, add the goat milk. But those are a couple of the things that I'm planning on growing. You know, and then I might get a little carried away and, you know, just order weird random things from the seed catalogs and put in stuff.
That'd be awesome.
So yeah, that's what I want to grow. If you have any good suggestions, drop me an email.
James@survivalpunk.com. And now it is time for our nutrition punk segment.
Yeah, we're right on schedule. It's like up to an hour. Nutrition punk segment.
What did you do?
There it is.
Paleoification. Just because the label says paleo doesn't mean it's healthy.
And this comes from robwolf.com.
All right, folks, hang on to your britches. It's been a while since I've gone on an epic rant about food-related topic, but it's about to go down. I'm not changing my overall philosophy and still believe that there are no evil foods, but there are a few things that need to be talked about. So brace yourself. This may hurt. Come on, Rob.
Actually, it's written by Amy Kubal.
Come on, Amy. In our happy little paleo world, we would like to ridicule and point out the major flaws of the whole low-fat and fat-free craze that went down in the 90s and early 2000s, and there's definitely merit to our arguments. Fat-free cheese, muffins, ice cream, salad dressing, margarines, reduced-fat peanut butter, Snackwell's cookies, although the devil's food ones were pretty damn tasty, lean cuisine, pretzels, and even fat-free candies like jelly beans and licorice got the green light while nuts, avocados, olives, and most meats were blacklisted. Food manufacturers made lots of money, and America got fatter. While we all ate up those seemingly healthy processed foods, we neglected naturally low-fat and fat-free fare. You know, vegetables, fruit, lean meat. So basically, what we did was trade real food for packaged, processed, sugar-heavy, unsatisfying junk, all because we were being told it was good for us, and we could eat as we wanted and not get fat. Bonus! Well, that ended up not working out real great in the end, right? We moved away from the real food stuff that tasted good, and that was quick and convenient because grabbing a bag of frozen veggies and a can of tuna was way too much work. Fast forward to the mid-late 2000s, we start figuring out that fat isn't what's hurting us, but it's all the refined carbs and sugars. Enter paleo champions Lauren Cordain and the infamous Rob Wolf, and we got a new movement. We start eating real food again, like lean or grass-fed meats, vegetables and fruits, natural fats, and holy buckets, we started getting healthier again. Craziness! But as paleo popularity has exploded, so has the paleoification.
I'm so going to patent that word, of foods that in the Stone Age world would not have been anywhere near the cave refrigerator or pantry. We've got paleo treats, cookies and candy cakes, paleo granola, paleo bars, paleo bread, paleo protein powder, paleo ketchup and barbecue sauce, recipes for paleo desserts, pancakes, ice cream, etc. Seriously, pretty much every mainstream food can and has been paleofied. Patenting that one too, and is available for sale at a grocery store or on the website near you.
I actually kind of want to pick up some paleo barbecue sauce.
Like a vault, you're part of the problem.
Okay, here comes the rant. If you think for 1 minute that the fate of paleo is any different than that of the fat-free, low-fat craze, I'm afraid you're going to be very disappointed. In a few years, We are doing exactly what they did. We are engineering and making foods that fit our little rule list and buying, eating them like there's no tomorrow. Well, newsflash, folks. Your body doesn't know the damn difference between a teaspoon of freaking table sugar and organic natural coconut sugar. I've never bought that. After that shit crosses your lips, it's all the same. The fuck?
Your coffee attacked you.
The same goes for honey, maple syrup, coconut nectar, and dates and other fruits used to make things taste sweet. Sugar is fucking sugar. The story is similar for smoothies and juices. Just because you make them at home with your $1,000 plus juicer or blender, it doesn't necessarily make it any better than a glass of Minute Maid. Yeah, giving something a paleo-friendly halo doesn't mean that when you eat, drink it, your body tastes it and takes it in and goes, oh, this is paleo, organic homemade. So I'm going to use this to burn fat and or convert it directly into muscle. It doesn't work that way. And I'm sick and tired of folks telling me that they can eat a freaking potato, carrot, that they can't eat a freaking potato, carrot, or piece of fruit because there's too much sugar. But at the same time, they're eating paleo pancakes with 100% maple syrup for breakfast, a sandwich on paleo bread for lunch, paleo crackers, and a cup of tea with honey for a snack, and paleo cookies, no offense, for dessert after dinner. Seriously? You're going to tell me a carrot is bad? And, no, I'm not done. There's a point at which calories do count. No, you cannot have 2 cups of bulletproof coffee with 2 to 3 tablespoons each of grass-fed butter and MCT oil, 1 pound of bacon, 3 cups of nuts, and a 24-ounce ribeye as part of your daily diet, unless you're training like an animal or a genetic freak and expect to get lean. Yes, it's paleo, but there's a breaking point. Scroll button 1212.
As individuals and as a community, we need to stop the insanity. We need to come back to basics, you know, real food. Everyone goes on and on about how the cavemen weren't cooking grains and beans, and they likely weren't, but they also weren't making flour out of almonds or coconuts, extracting sugar from coconuts, tapping trees for maple syrup, or drying fruit so they could use it to bake or make cave ketchup. Basics. Lean or grass-fed meats, lots of non-starchy vegetables, moderate amounts of healthy fats, and some fresh fruit and starchy roots and tubers. It's not complicated, and you don't need another damn recipe for paleo muffins or cookies. Sorry. These are not everyday foods. Okay, ran over. Now, I'm not saying that you need to give up everything that tastes good forever. Hell no. I hold firmly to the belief that there is no bad food, but excess of anything is not good either, and if you want a pizza or a cookie as a treat, then by all means enjoy it, and since it's a treat, you don't do it all the time. If it's not 100% paleo-friendly and it doesn't make you sick, that's totally okay. Eat what satisfies your cravings in a reasonable amount, and again, enjoy every damn bite. But if you're eating paleo-fied foods regularly and not seeing the results you want or not feeling well, it's not because paleo isn't working. Go back and review what paleo really is and then tell me where the problem lies.
Yeah.
Here's a few 2-second takeaways.
Just because the label says paleo or your website tells you a certain food is paleo, it doesn't mean it's healthy to eat it all the time or in large amounts.
If you're not seeing the results you're looking for, go back to the basics. Eat real whole foods.
Even if a food is paleo-friendly, it doesn't give you a license to eat it like an asshole. Case in point, cups of nuts, massive steaks, pounds of bacon, etc.
Paleo is not a religion, and there is room for treats in non-paleo fare, just not in excess.
Enjoy every single bite of everything you eat mindfully.
Don't be a victim of paleofication. Listen to your body. Do what works for you and keep you healthy and happy. If you do that, it doesn't matter what the label says.
I have believed this for a long time, and I lump it in with the gluten-free labeling, where they just slap, oh my god, they slap gluten-free on things that there's no reason to have that label on there.
Oh god, you remember the fucking, remember for a while there, every label said 0% trans fats.
Every label still says that. Yeah. You know what? I've looked around the grocery stores and I found trans fat in one thing. Margarine. Because it's so much healthier than butter. Butter, by the way, has no trans fat, just in case you were wondering.
Boy, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I've seen that on a soda can before.
Fucking potato chips always say gluten-free. Why would a fucking potato have gluten in it?
It's
like showing a swimsuit model and being like, now without penis. Well, no shit! It's ridiculous and stupid, and people are slapping it everywhere. And back to the point of the article, a fucking cookie is still a fucking cookie.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat 4 cookies a day, every day. But, you know, if you're in the mood for a cookie, have a fucking cookie.
That's why they call it a treat.
Yes. Treats happen because it's special. It's not all the time.
You're treating yourself for doing a good job.
Yeah. And even that, I sort of have issues with the bad, like, neural programming of associating food as a
reward.
Reward, yes. Because that causes problems. But if you're having a treat, just enjoy it. Like, all the time I have people that, you know, I give diet advice to, and they'll fall off, and they'll just, like, they'll message me, like, just racked with guilt, like, oh, I messed up so bad yesterday. I had pizza, and, you know, I drank some beers, and, you know, it was our anniversary. I'm like, fucking enjoy that shit!
Fuck yeah!
I'm gonna go balls to the wall today. I'm gonna eat some pizza. I'm gonna love that shit. Tomorrow I'm gonna go back to paleo.
You know, with the exception of that woman who fucking used the very strict form of the paleo diet to get her ass out of the wheelchair and cure her muscular dystrophy, there's no such thing as a perfect paleo eater.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe, you know what? I think I've read Dr. Melinda Walls.
Was that who I was talking about?
Yes.
I could never remember. I'm sorry, Melinda.
You know, and I think I've read that if she, like, slips up, she can feel it. It's like Nancy Kerrigan comes, whacks her in the knee. She's like, oh, why me? Sorry. But no, Tonya Harding. Yeah, reverse. She got revenge on her.
Nancy Kerrigan was the one that got whacked.
Take that, Tonya! Pa-bam!
Oh my god.
Yeah, so, unless you're trying to control some sort of autoimmune disease, multiple sclerosis, you know, or something like that, you probably got some leeway there. You know, if every time you eat tortilla chips, you're crippled shitting, like, pee out of your butt for the next 4 days, probably shouldn't do it anymore.
You also should probably check the bag and make sure that one of the ingredients isn't Olestra.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Side effect was anal seepage.
Yeah, see, that's just like paleofication. That was like trying to be, that was low fatification.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up with anal leakage. So.
Oh, my God. People just.
Just eat just real food.
Dripping out their bums.
If 90% of your food is real food, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on with life. Be happy.
Yes, just don't eat Olestra.
Yes.
God, I mean, nobody wants that. It's like Jeff Foxworthy said, imagine having anal seepage. It's not even fun to say, let alone putting on an insurance form.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking medical insurance. I'm talking homeowner's insurance when you're trying to explain why the hell your couch is sitting on the curb.
Yeah. So
now it is time for Couch Potato Mike's celebrity invite of this week.
Did you pick someone?
Yes, I did, actually.
Just now?
No, at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, actually, before we started recording, I already had somebody written down on the card.
Nice.
Yes, and my survival celebrity this week is Harrison Ford.
Oh, my God. I love Harrison Ford. I'm glad he didn't die.
Yeah.
We lost the great Jeff, not Jeff, sorry. We lost the great Leonard Nimoy. I have a friend named Jeff Nimoy. He's cousins? Cousins with Leonard.
Well, my condolences to Jeff there, but yeah, he lived long and he prospered.
Yeah, it's a great tragedy. I'm going to miss him. I'm glad we didn't also lose Harrison Ford in the same week.
I know. I mean, when you said he was in a plane crash, I thought he was like on a on a passenger plane. I didn't know he was flying.
Like flying a biplane.
I didn't know.
He probably was escaping from like some Aboriginal headhunters.
You know,
because he stole their idol.
You know damn well they pulled the fucking EMTs got there and pulled him out of that plane. He's like,
Dr. Jones.
And they're like, he's like, how fast did I do the Kessel Run? No time for love, Dr. Jones. But only that old motherfucker could have survived that damn plane crash. I mean, he has survived everything. He was the only one whose career wasn't destroyed by Star Wars.
Yeah.
So Harrison Ford, you've got an open door invite onto the Survival Punk podcast. And yes, I will even forgive you for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Actually, and I'm going to try to do this, I actually want Jeff Nimoy to come on the show. That's my invite.
That would be awesome. Jeff Nimoy?
He's a voice actor, by the way. And a paleo recipe inventor.
He is definitely somebody I want to talk to, because I would love to get on board. I need to break into the business, yo!
I don't know if you've ever heard of the show before, but like back in the 90s, he did kind of do this show called Digimon.
Digital monsters. Digimon are some assholes.
Yes. Oh my God, you're terrible.
I never liked that show, okay?
I loved it.
I did.
I loved the kid,
Everything ended with Mon, for God's sake.
Pokemon doesn't do the same damn thing?
No! Pokemon doesn't do the same damn thing! I challenge you to find one Pokemon whose name ends with Mon.
Who cares?
I'll just ask our son.
Yeah.
He might know.
Survival Punk Army wants you! For really real. Not for play.
That's my line, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Tell people what you get with the Survival Punk Army.
I don't know. You already stole my line. Fucking shit. You know what you get? You get our show in handy little 10-episode zip files.
Yes.
You get 10 to 20% discounts at over 11 different vendors around the internet.
Exclusive content and all that stuff. I hate that you said my part in your southern accent, though.
I do not have a southern fucking accent!
Oh, this has been a fun episode.
This has been a pissed off episode.
It's not even that bad. I mean, not like the,
You know, somebody's out there going, whoa, booyah, getting all angry over there.
Yeah. We didn't even have our weed minute this week.
No, we didn't.
No weed stories.
I tried to bring it up that you were growing, you know, but anyway.
Weed in the backyard, yep.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. Yep.
What's the next part?
The Survival Punk Army wants you!
I think we already covered that.
Yeah, covered this, bitch. Alright, and if you want to sell your shit on this show, and why would you, chop a line to James at survivalpunk.com. He will accept all sorts of shit. He takes money in bitcoins and precious metals and meat and bacon seeds and all that
Russian
stuff.
Russian brides, whatever.
And he is opening up the doors a little bit and coming off of his fucking high horse. So,
what's that mean?
I'm working with some people that,
he's broadening his horizons of what he's going to sell on the show.
So I'm going to work with, kind of through a third party company, with author Robert Kiyosaki that did the Rich Dad Poor Dad series.
Aww.
I'm going to get a copy of his book to, review and work with that. So, it's sort of a sponsored post, to talk about it, which is good because I'm going to review the book and talk about it, which I do anyway because I like him. So,
right.
So
you're venturing out more than just survival stuff.
Kinda. I do think that finances have a big part in survival though.
I mean, that's prepping in itself. I mean, that's financial prepping for your future.
Yeah. So,
But, okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap this bitch up. It's been a weird episode. It's
been a fun episode.
This episode's kind of got my feathers ruffled a little bit.
I'm hopped up on no-dos. I've been awake like 22 hours.
Why do you keep doing that to yourself?
I tried to take some naps earlier. I didn't really, really fall asleep, but I kind of got some, like, relaxation.
Which is hard to do in our house.
Yeah, I was trying to nap, and your kids were, like, kicking on the wall.
Well, it's their, that's their kicking wall. You don't have your own kicking wall?
I'm going to pull a Simpsons and swim arms in my windmill and say, don't get in my way, you'll get punched.
Yeah, that never works.
Your kids will start kicking. Don't get in my way, you'll get kicked.
That's when they start throwing knives.
This has been James for SherrillPunk.com.
And this guys. Is, and this has been Couch Potato Mike Hughes, guys. And remember, don't be little bitches on the internet. Don't eat Alestra. And fucking don't let people think you're paranoid and calling you shit because you're the only one on the fucking block to survive the flood.
DIY, drive up your hills with snow chains.
Here's guys.
Hey, oh, let's go.